Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
We bit that apple and the garden was lost, and so we had to work to pay the cost. And so we went digging into the ground and started to burn many things we found.
Oh, yeah. Started to burn too many things we found. That's the wonderful Dar Williams singing with the legendary Pete Seeger and David Burns, who wrote the words to that song, except for one. Solartopia, which I wrote. I'm Harvey Schwago Wasserman back here at PRN for another hour in the green power and wellness world on Solartopia. And we're going to be talking about a truly surreal confrontation over nuclear power in Ohio. We just had the presidential debate in Westerville in the suburb of Columbus, home of Otterbein College. And I got to say that Bernie looked hale and hearty. Elizabeth looked pretty good. Joe is on his way down. Thank God. I wish he'd drop out of the race already. Nuclear power did not come up. Tom Steyer, the billionaire, did raise the question of global warming. His 7 minutes of fame there. And we're on our way. But what we're really on our way is a confrontation over nuclear power unlike any we have ever seen in the state of Ohio. We're going to be talking about nuclear power and energy through this show. I do have a piece up at laprogressive.com. I assume it's going to be at freepress.org. It's at Smirking Chimp, Op-Ed News, and Scoop NZ. It's about the failure of Pacific Gas and Electric here in California, where I'm talking to you from, to be able to maintain its power lines in the middle of a windstorm, let alone run two nuclear plants that could wipe out all of California. It's an unbelievable situation here. We can't even get these nuclear plants inspected by what may arguably be the country's most liberal governor won't even shut them down to take a look and see if they're embrittled and all that stuff. And we'll come back to that. We have three great guests. Bob Fitrakis, you with us?
Yep, I'm here, Harvey.
All right, Bob right there in Central Ohio. I was expecting to see you on the stage at Otterbein during the presidential debate. What happened? They wouldn't let you on?
Well, we had another reporter down there, John Hartman.
Oh, okay.
But again, you know, it's Ohio, so who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, right. Joe DeMar, you're in Bowling Green. You with us?
Yes, I am, and happy to be here.
Our very own Green Party guy, Joe DeMar, in Bowling Green, Ohio, right on the case there. I'm Perry and Davis Bessie, which we're going to be talking about now. Kevin Camps, you're in Kalamazoo.
Hey, Harvey.
Okay, buddy, where are you these days?
Yep, Kalamazoo, Michigan.
And Kalamazoo, Michigan is, of course, the real hot spot in Michigan. And you are with Beyond Nuclear. All three of you guys have been guests on the show. We believe in continuity here at the Green Power and Wellness Show. And I want to thank PRN for keeping us on the air. And so I could not make up what's going on in Ohio right now on this referendum. We've talked about this before in previous shows. There is a referendum going on in the state of Ohio to repeal the bailout that was foisted by the bought, corrupt, brain-dead, completely lobotomized Ohio legislature, which voted for over $1 billion in bailout money to keep two nuclear power plants operating so they can blow up and wipe out the Great Lakes. Harry and Davis Bessie. Now, these two reactors have been bones of contention since they opened. Perry opened in the mid-1980s, Davis Bessie in the early 1970s. These reactors are really, really old and really, really falling apart. and they have absolutely no business operating for any. We don't need the power. They're expensive. They're dangerous. They're creating radioactive waste. They're destroying the lakes, all that stuff. And so Perry and Davis Bessie were about to shut. And in comes First Energy, the mafia's very own utility company based in Akron. And they went to the legislature, basically bought the legislature, got the legislature to pass AB 6, which is designed to bail out, provide spectacular sums of money to come from not only the people in First Energy service territory, but all over the state of Ohio in their electric bills to pay additional money to keep Perry and Davis Bessie operating. And so a group has come in, and they are circulating a petition, a legal petition. They got the signatures to repeal AB 6 and kill this bailout. And what has happened since is absolutely staggering. So Bob Fetrakis, you are an attorney and a political science professor in Central Ohio. You're a professor of political science at Columbus State University, and you are an attorney in many, many important cases on election protection, and now on the situation with the referendum. So can you start by telling us what the opponents of the repeal, the supporters of the bailout, have been doing to the referendum signature, to get the thing on the ballot? The opponents of AB 6, the supporters of repealing the bailout, have to get about 250,000 signatures certified, and this is a major process. Bob, can you tell us now what the nuclear proponents have been doing to the effort to gather the signatures to get this bailout on the ballot? And people, I got to tell you, everything Bob is about to tell you is true. We could not make this up. Okay, go ahead, Bob.
Well, first of all, they sent out squads to sort of surround, identify and surround those getting signatures for the repeal. And essentially, you know, keeping track, reporting on where they are, trying to interfere with their efforts. Then, of course, they went out and wrote up their own petition.
Street thugs. These are street thugs who are going around. If you're out there gathering signatures, all nice and green and spiffy, you're gathering signatures to put this petition on the ballot. The proponents of the bailout have sent street thugs to surround you and intimidate you and prevent you from gathering signatures. Is that correct?
No, absolutely. Yeah, they refer to themselves as guardians. they're protecting people from signing an initiative. So, and they've run, you know, just these god-awful commercials that indicate that, you know, somehow it's a secret plot from China, you know, with cartoon characters of Chinese, you know, people in caricatures that somehow are trying to steal our energy grid. So there's been this constant attack, and then they unleash these guardians who were like superheroes going to save the grid from those trying to repeal it. But then it began to get worse than that. Then they went out and got their own signatures, which I get accosted with 10, 20 times a day. I mean, the amount of people they've hired, and it's an official petition, Harvey. One of them told me it was a plebiscite, and they want you to sign it repeatedly. So it's not official. And you can sign it. They'll encourage you to sign it 5, 10, 20 times. So you've got that. And that's to confuse people into making them think they've already signed it. And then, of course, numerous reports, even in the mainstream paper, the Columbus Dispatch, that they're trying to buy, that they're buying. People are coming up and offering to buy the signatures that are being collected to repeal House Bill 6. So you've got all set, you know, and this is arguably, illegal and perhaps a felon. You're not allowed to give things of value to people in exchange for, political campaign and events without disclosing those things. So you're out there getting signatures and somebody comes up and offers you, $500 for your signatures. I mean, that's illegal. People need to go to jail. I've really never seen tactics like this.
Let's clarify this. You're out there gathering signatures for putting the repeal of the bailout on the ballot. And you've got a clipboard, and you've been talking to people legitimately and getting them to sign the petition to put the repeal on the ballot. And someone comes up to you, a nuclear supporter, and offers to give you money for the sheet of signatures?
Offers to buy your signatures.
That's correct. Can I jump in there, Harvey?
Joe DeMar, you want to jump in on this from Bowling Green?
Yes, because I worked for a while gathering the petition signatures and had firsthand experience with these thugs. One of them, we were gathering outside the library, and one of these thugs showed up, and whenever anyone would approach us with our petition, he would start screaming at them while they were still halfway across the parking lot, don't sign that, you're giving the grid to China. And he was stepping out into the street to confront people. He was physically blocking people from getting to us. And, they're not only offering to buy petition sheets for people, but they're going to the petitioners and just offering them, the reports are $2,500 to $3,000 to quit right there, to just say, we'll give you $2,500 if you just stop gathering petition signatures. But one thing about these thugs, though, is that they are not personally necessarily anti-nuclear. They literally have no idea what the issue is. A lot of them, when I have, from reports from the one I've met and from other ones that people I've talked to, a lot of them have never even heard of HB 6. They've just been told, go block those petitioners, go surround them, go harass them. And it is. It's amazing. It's incredible. And it was really unpleasant to be at the wrong end of that kind of nastiness. So, I just wanted to jump in.
These are mafia guys, basically. I mean,
they're acting like mafias. They're acting like thugs and enforcers for organized crime, which, you can make the argument all nuclear power is organized crime, but they're just literally hiring thousands of people off the streets and just putting them to work, harassing the petitioners.
So people like you who are out gathering signatures for the repeal of the nuclear bailout are being offered $2,500 to stop?
To just quit right there. That's what the media reports are, and there's some support for it. There's some evidence that they gave when they made a public statement that this was happening. And the Secretary of State of Ohio has threatened to do investigating and to, come down on these guys. But so far, he hasn't actually done anything. He's just made a lot of threats, a lot of public statements, but no actual indictments have been handed down. Nothing is actually being done to protect the petitioners. And we were threatened by the blocker that came to stop us at the library. He said, we will follow you, and if you leave, we will follow you. And then he paused, and then he left it to our imagination what they were going to do to us after they followed us. And that kind of threat, that's happening all over Ohio, from Youngstown to Toledo to Columbus. And it's by the thousands, they've hired these thugs.
I'm floored. Kevin Camps, you've been in this a long time. Have you ever heard anything like this?
No, it's pretty incredible stuff. And I just wanted to add to the conversation that as this kind of madness is unfolding on the ground, you know, with good folks like Joe trying to exercise democracy and gather petition signatures, there's something else happening at the very same time. And, you know, thanks to Michael Keegan for keeping such a close eye on the Nuclear Regulatory Commission dockets. So what's going on at Davis-Bessey and at Perry as all this stuff is getting, you know, deserved media coverage? Something very quiet and stealth is happening, and that is the continual rubber stamping of more and more safety exemptions at both reactors. So just a couple recent examples from recent days. At Davis-Bessey, a deferment of reactor internal inspections, as well as a deferral of leak rate from the containment inspections. And what they try to do is put these inspections so far off into the future that they'll never have to do them again. And then over at Perry, they just had a safety incident where they lost a safety function on one of the cooling systems. So these dangerously age-degraded reactors that would be bailed out to the tune of $1 billion by these bought-off state legislators in Ohio are getting more and more dangerous because there is nobody regulating safety at these reactors. Every exemption request made by First Energy is rubber-stamped by the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, and all we get is a report that it's a done deal after it's happened.
Mind-boggling. It's really, of course, we got to remember that the Nuclear Regulatory Commission is controlled by Trump appointees. There are five Nuclear Regulatory Commissioners, and three of them have been appointed by Donald Trump, which basically means that there is zero meaningful regulation going on of the nuclear power industry, 96 licensed reactors in the United States. Bob Fetrakis, do you want to comment further on, I mean, is there any countervailing resistance to this kind of fascist thuggery going on against the signature gatherers in Ohio?
Well, the one of the loudest voices actually has been the Columbus Dispatch, who's been shocked and makes the argument that if you allow them to get away with this, that you've completely rewritten the rules of initiatives and referendums. Basically, the people's initiatives is that this could, in fact, become a new model where you just go out and physically attack, intimidate, isolate. There's also reports as they're getting the names. It looks like, you know, they're investigating and getting the names of the petitioners, the legitimate petitioners, and calling them up as well and threatening them.
Joe, has that happened to you?
No, that hadn't happened to me. But I know that but the report is, we have to, whenever you're a petitioner, the petitioning is being done by professional petitioners. They're hired by an organization called Ohioans Against Corporate Bailouts. And in Ohio, if you're a professional petitioner, you have to file a form with the state called 15S, and that has to have your name, your address, and contact information, and that's public information. So that's how they're getting people's names that are actually carrying the petitions. And the reports are, yes, that they're using that information to then track people down, get their cell phone numbers, and send them texts, both threatening texts and texts offering them money if they quit. It's just incredible. And it's really, but there is some resistance. You asked about resistance. They're a little behind, but the you know, non-government organizations, the people's groups like the Sierra Club, like the Ohio Environmental Council, what they're doing in response is they're organizing petition signing events at private venues. So like we had one here in Bowling Green just yesterday at a coffee shop called Grounds for Thought. We publicized it and people could come. And because it's at a private venue, you know, it was in the coffee shop, we had arranged it, it was a private event. If the blockers had shown up, if the thugs had shown up, we could then just call the police because they'd be trespassing. The problem is that's a very inefficient way to do it. It's hard to get people to come to a place to get petitions. It's much more efficient. And if we need 265,000 signatures, it's much faster if you can go to a public event unmolested and just talk to people. So they're kind of forcing the petition drive indoors. They're forcing it underground almost. But there's dozens of these petition signing events being organized all over the state. Unfortunately, we only have till October 20th, unless a lawsuit that the people gathering the petitions have filed, and maybe Bob can talk more about that. But right now, the deadline stands at October 20th.
Bob, you want to talk about the lawsuits asking to extend the deadline?
Yeah, a notion that, you can charge it. I think there's going to have to be, though, the Attorney General is going to have to do an investigation. And establish this. I mean, it's being wildly reported. I mean, I see it every day because they're all over my campus down at Columbus State, where you used to teach as well. So there's so many of them. The amount of money that's being spent, by the nuclear, by First Energy is just staggering. So usually the courts tend to be reluctant to interfere with these processes. I think, only to some extent would an actual investigation by the Attorney General get into a situation where there'd be some sort of extension. But really, that would be unprecedented as well. It's like what they found if you steal an election, there's really not going to redo the election, so why not steal it?
Wow. I mean, I'm floored. I mean, this is a major turn toward fascism in America. I mean, this is not some small incident, and it's not limited to the nuclear power situation. I mean, I have never heard of tactics like these being used to prevent a referendum from getting on the ballot for any issue. Have any of you heard anything like this, Kevin? Have you ever heard of anything like this?
No, I think it's taken it to a new level. Just to give listeners more perspective on the amount of money that's flowed into Ohio just in recent. So you have, First Energy loading the state legislator with supportive Republicans, for one thing, although they needed some Democrats to vote the wrong way to get this passed. And then millions more in lobbying those folks that they've put in the state legislature, and then millions more for TV ads, for print ads, that happened before HB6 was passed into law and since HB6 was passed into law, like those preposterous China is stealing the electric grid advertising campaigns. So you're just talking many millions, if not tens of millions of dollars that has been spent by and dark money groups. There was just on October 10th a good write-up in Mother Jones, kind of a good overview of this whole insane situation in Ohio and the levels of money being spent.
Well, what are we talking about here? How much money do you...
The lobbying effort before HB6 passed was $50 million. The advertising for HB6 by First Energy Solutions and First Energy, that was in the neighborhood of $10, $11 million. The amount that's being spent now to block the referendum, it's got to be at least $10 million, $11 million. They're advertising much more heavily this time than they were before the law passed, because I just got another mailer. They're sending mailers out to every registered voter in Ohio. with these lies. The one I got yesterday says, "Decline to sign Protect Our Energy Grid. Foreign entities have infiltrated our energy grid so they can increase our electric rates to drive up their profits. Now they want more, ... you know." And then at the bottom, there's the, "If you see a circulator, report them to our hotline." And it gives a number and a text number and a website. And so people are calling these numbers when they see us carrying petitions. And then they send out the blockers. They send out a team. They try to have at least three blockers for each legitimate petitioner. That way they can completely surround them and prevent anybody from getting to them. So we're talking definitely tens of millions. In order to get, it's $1.5 billion is what First Energy Solutions would get from this bailout. And the ironic thing, of course, is that the bailout adds money to everyone in Ohio's electric bill. So the bailout actually increases electric rates. So there, it's democracy versus dollars in a very real, very tangible sense.
Harvey, could I just read the title of this Mother Jones article real quick?
Yeah, please, tell us about it.
They really got it. They got it right. So the title is, "Dark Money is Pouring In to Protect the Worst Energy Policy in the Country." And the subtitle is, "In Ohio, the Fight Over a Nuclear and Coal Bailout is Getting Weirder by the Day."
I'm almost speechless here. I mean, this is just really an absolutely terrifying a step toward fascism that is unprecedented. Of course, it happens with nuclear power. Now, the question, Bob, maybe you know, all this money that First Energy is spending, are they going to be able to add it to their rate base and force the ratepayers to pay for this kind of fascist assault? Bob, are you there? Bob Patrakis?
Yeah, I was having trouble hearing you. What was the question?
The money that First Energy is spending to, you know, to send their stormtroopers around Ohio to stop the petition gathering, are they going to be able to write that off and charge the ratepayers for that kind of expenditure?
Well, possibly. Under the law, they treat issues differently, and it depends on what type of groups, whether particularly they, you know, if they set up any nonprofit to do any of this, you know, they could write, you know, up to 20% of their assets would be legally allowed. So I don't know whether they're using nonprofit energies, but they may be able to write some of this off as a business expense for thuggery.
Unbelievable. Joe DeMar, I assume this will come up in front of the Ohio Public Utilities Commission. They'll come in there and ask for a to be able to charge this to the ratepayers, don't you think?
No. House Bill 6 creates a runaround around the Public Utilities Commission by creating something called the Clean Air Authority, which gives them... which the Clean Air Authority would have the right to increase the rate for the nuclear plant. So, no, the Public Utilities Commission's cut out with House Bill 6. House Bill 6 is incredibly, I think we should just back up half a step to reference the Mother Jones article to talk about all the things that are bad about it, because it's not just bailing out the nukes. It also eliminates Ohio's energy efficiency program, which is a program that by law more than pays for itself. It has to create more energy savings than it costs to do the improvements, to put in the insulation or to do the energy efficient lighting. And it eliminates that program because it was incredibly effective. It saved $5 billion in energy costs since it was created. And House Bill 6 eliminates it completely. House Bill 6 also eliminates all the state support for wind and solar energy in the state of Ohio. It phases it out over 4 years, but at the end of the 4 years, that's gone. And so then it in addition, it also gives the $1.5 billion to the Dukes, and it gives, I believe, about $600 million to two coal plants, one of which is in southern Ohio, but the other of which is in Indiana. So Ohio ratepayers are being dinged to give money to a coal plant in another state. And so you had said this is a step towards fascism. I have to correct that, Harvey. This is pure, unadulterated fascism. This is corporations setting public policy and using thugs the way they did back in Italy when the fascists took over. This is not a step towards fascism. This is just pure, unadulterated fascism, in my opinion.
Kevin Camps, you want to comment on that?
Just, you know, there has been good media coverage to find a silver lining, I guess. At least the word's getting out. And here's another example of that. Just a couple days after House Bill 6 was enacted with the governor's signature, Vox did a good article, and the title of it was similar to Mother Jones. The title of the Vox article from July 27th is, "Ohio just passed the worst energy bill of the 21st century." And the subtitle is, "A corrupt bailout for dinosaur power plants that screws renewable energy in the process." So just echoing that great summary that Joe just gave. And another figure I wanted to throw out there, because you mentioned the $2,500 to petition gatherers just to quit. Well, there's another media citation that the bad guys have offered good guy firms $100,000 if they would either withdraw or switch sides. I can't remember which. But that's the kind of money that's being thrown around. But as Joe laid out, at $150 million per year in nuclear bailout alone, after 6 years, that's $900 million. The return on that investment is off the charts. So if they're spending millions or tens of millions of dollars to ram this thing through, they're going to get close to $1 billion in the end, compliments of Ohio ratepayers. So, you know, it's well worth the investment.
God almighty. Bob Patrakis, this kind of thing, I mean, where do you see it going as a historian? I mean, is it going to spread to other referenda?
Well, this is one of those critical junctures in history, is that, I mean, something has to be done. Because this, coming out of the progressive era, you know, with the right of initiative, the people could initiate laws. If now all you need to do is physically assault, intimidate, and openly buy the signatures, all of those things illegal. If nothing happens, if nobody goes to jail for breaking the law in these really three separate and distinct ways, then it becomes the new model. You know, Ohio's sort of notorious for being a testing ground and a place where you market new methods and ideas. And this one essentially is the end of the initiative. All you got to do is hire thugs. And they're hiring a lot of them. You know, yesterday at school, there was one petitioner with the actual certified petition to repeal. And again, he was being surrounded, by 3 to 5 people with these fake petitions, a couple of them trying to get people signed mine. It's the same petition. I mean, they're just openly lying. I mean, somebody's got to go to jail or, this is the end of the initiative on any sort of controversial issue.
You know, it's hard to speak here. Joe, you want to keep going?
Well, that's the thing, is we are continuing to go. We're not giving up. We're having another one of these petition sightings in Toledo on Friday. We don't know what the numbers are. We don't know how close we are to the 265,000. One thing about the proposed lawsuit is that at the start of this, what happens in Ohio, if the legislature passes a law that the people disagree with, they're allowed to put this referendum forward. That puts it on the ballot, and then the people of Ohio can vote on the law itself, and they vote it up or down, yes or no. What the Secretary of State did was take the maximum time allowed by law to certify each petition. So the first petition was rejected. They said that it was inaccurate in description of HB 6. So then they had to do a second petition. That one was accepted. But both times, the Secretary of State took 20 days to approve or disapprove of the petition. And so that used up 40 of the 90 days that are allowed by law to get the referendum signatures. So we're starting out with only 90 days, and then the Secretary of State essentially acted like a governor, used a pocket veto to use up, to burn out 40 of those days. So it's really clear that this Republican administration, Kevin mentioned how quickly the governor signed it. He literally signed it within hours of its passage while the ink was still wet. He put his signature on there because the preview to the whole thing, that the thing that set it all up, was that First Energy handpicked 12 Republicans in the last primary election to push this bill forward. And they funded those 12. 11 of the 12 got elected. They actually knocked out incumbent Republicans in the primary. And so then these 11 were the core that pushed this through the legislature lightning speed. And despite the fact that in the hearings, 90% of the testimony was opposed to HB 6, and it was opposed across the spectrum. It was the Greens opposed it, the Libertarians opposed it, the Ohio Manufacturers Association opposed it, the Sierra opposed it. Everyone opposed this bill except those that were directly benefiting from it economically. And then, of course, the legislature passed it anyway. So, but this is really, like as Bob said, this is an assault on democracy itself. This is not just a push for nuclear power, although it definitely is that. It's also an assault on democracy itself from the beginning, from the inception of HB 6.
And you got to point out, got to make it clear, as you said, Joe, that in the primaries, obviously First Energy had a long-term strategy here, and in the 2018 primaries, they went into the Republican primaries and where there were Republican incumbents that weren't going to support the bailout, they heavily financed, you know, Republican insurgents to throw out the Republican incumbents and then to vote for HB 6. We do have to point out that HB 6 passed in each house of the legislature with Democratic votes. And had all the Democrats voted against HB 6, it would not have passed in either house. And I hope to God that the Democrats who voted for HB 6 are primaried and gotten rid of. I mean, but this is serious. I find it really difficult to imagine the law that could be passed to reverse this at this point in time. I mean, Bob, as an attorney, what kind of chance is there that the courts are going to react to this in a meaningful manner? I mean, people, you know, the newspapers, everybody's rubbing their hands and saying, oh, this is terrible. But, you know, and I'm sure I can just envision an editorial in the Dispatch if this fails to get on the ballot saying, oh, what a terrible thing. But what's going to happen? I mean, what is the legal ramification here?
Again, the option would be, I think, challenging this is to try to make it a referendum to put it on. I think that would take tremendous efforts and the assistance of the newspapers, who have, for the most part, done an incredible job and as appalled as the activists trying to get it on the ballot. This stuff is such shocking. It reminds me of when they brought in the Mighty Texas Strike Force and called up and harassed people in 2004 and threatened to have them arrested if they were on probation and tried to vote, which they would have been allowed to do. That was legal. But once these tactics get unleashed, you've got to have some remedy. So I think there's got to be a movement. There's got to be demonstrations that said, you know, the people's right to vote was interfered with. It was interfered with, you know, by thugs, by people who beat back the legitimate right to vote on this issue. It needs to be put on the ballot as a referendum.
Go ahead, Joe.
Just a quick correction there. Yeah, what we're fighting for now is the referendum, and the referendum is an up-down vote on a law that the legislature's already passed. I think what you mean, Bob, is that we need to do an initiative, which in Ohio is legally different, an initiative that would define the kind of energy policy we actually want. And so we could negate the referendum, or we could negate HB6 with the referendum, but if that fails, then we could create an initiative that would instruct the legislature, you know, here's the energy policy we actually want. But that would take a lot of organization and pulling together of a lot of people. And it might be the route that we have to go, but it would be very difficult. Whereas HB6, like I said, everybody agrees HB6 is terrible. So if we can get it on the ballot, it's going down. It might be, if we get it on the ballot, I would predict it would be about 95% of Ohio would vote against it.
No, I agree. I mean, and I think the other side knows that. That's why they're resorting to fascistic tactics. And they know that they want to spend $1 billion a bailout for decrepit nukes.
Bob, you got to stick close to your phone. You break up a little bit when you get away from it. But, yeah, I mean, this is just unreal. Kevin, you want to jump in on this?
I just wanted to give a little bit more perspective nationally, too. Some good news from all this discussion is that nowhere have folks fought a nuclear/coal bailout harder and more passionately than in Ohio. There are now a total of like 5 or 6 states where these bailouts have gone down. You've got New York State, a $7.6 billion bailout, and people did fight it up there. Illinois, a $2.4 billion bailout. And Exelon Nuclear is coming back around for a second serving in Illinois. Then you've got Connecticut, you've got New Jersey, and now you've got Ohio. And so what they're trying to do is extend this bailout for nuclear nationwide. And Tim Judson at Nuclear Information and Resource Service, way back in like the autumn of 2016, did a national survey of what this would look like if New York's and Illinois', which had already passed, were to happen nationally. And his figure was something like $280 billion in nuclear bailouts for these, you know, dangerously age-degraded atomic reactors. You mentioned there's still 96 operating reactors in this country. So we're really playing with fire because, you know, for one thing, Davis Bessie was supposed to shut down on Earth Day 2017. So we're 2.5 years past that, and if this bailout is implemented, that buys Davis Bessie another 6 years. And another news update, the bankruptcy proceeding seems to be coming to a conclusion. I don't think the smoke is totally cleared yet. A little good news is that First Energy was trying to screw its own workers who helped it secure this bailout with their lobbying. And it looks like the bankruptcy judge did not allow for pensions to be jettisoned into outer space. So, sorry, we can't pay your pensions. So they've been screwing their workers at every turn. Unfortunately, the workers made a difference in getting the bailout secured when, you know, they should be the first hired to deal with the mess they've made at these nuclear plants, and they should be retrained where appropriate to work in renewables and efficiency. So there needs to be a just transition. And I guess the worst of the abuses the bankruptcy judge did not let happen.
My God. Yeah, I mean, that's another astounding thing, right? During the campaign for HB6, the utility recruited the unions, and they were coming into the legislature, and you had union workers literally crying because they're going to shut the nuclear plant. And then they passed AB6, and the next day, not even 24 hours, First Energy waltzed in and broke their union contract. At Perry, I don't think they got away with it at Davis Bessie, but they also did it at Beaver Valley, the two reactors in Pennsylvania. We're almost out of time. Bob Fetrakis, can you tell people how to get a hold of you?
You can read our work at freepress.org. freepress.org and the columbusfreepress.com.
Okay, Joe DeMar?
I have a website. It's called Joe DeMar for a Greed Future. And the DeMar, it's JoeForDemare, and then foragreedfuture.org. And I have a book of short stories there I'm going to suggest people read just for, it's a good book.
Okay, I'm going to read it. Kevin Camp?
Okay. Yeah, our website is www.beyondnuclear.org, and I've been putting updates and news coverage of this very issue in Ohio under our nuclear costs subsection.
Okay, so let's go back here and talk about the possibility of an initiative. And Joe, you raised this. So if these fascist thugs from the nuclear industry, God forbid, succeed in preventing the signature gathering necessary to do the repeal by a referendum of HB6, then we have to go to an initiative. And Joe, do you know the legalities behind doing an initiative here to get this done?
I don't know all the legalities, no. I do know that we're talking hundreds of thousands of signatures. The problem with the initiative is that we would have to create an initiative that everybody agrees on. You know, we would have to create an energy policy that that a wide range of actors can support. And so that process, and then it has to be done in a legal language that's very complicated. Bob could probably talk more about that, but it would be extremely daunting. It would be a big challenge.
Bob, what do you think?
Well, yeah, I think it would be much harder, actually, you know, because you would have to have the correct language. It's clear the Attorney General would be opposed to it. It's always easier to do the up or down vote. Again, I think, I mean, there's got to be a way to get some sort of action out of the State House where, you know, the newspapers, I think the best aspect is going to be to try to get the newspapers and the people to put, you know, enormous pressure on the State House to reconsider this whole energy question. But, you know, Ohio's got such a strong stranglehold. I can't see a way out of this, but it's such a bad and nasty precedent. And the only reason there won't be the signatures is because of the physical violence and the threats and the assaults.
Man, I mean, this is really, of course, this didn't come up in the debate in Otterbein and hasn't yet come up. We have had a couple of candidates who are pro-nuclear, one of whom is Cory Booker. I would like to stand the, I don't know, who else, Kevin, who else among the Democrats is pro-nuclear?
Andrew Yang is unabashedly pro-nuclear, and Joe Biden, you know, is too pro-nuclear. He should know better, but he is too. And then on the flip side, you've got some pretty strong anti-nuclear stands by Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, and perhaps strongest of all, the strongest anti-nuclear stand of the candidates last night was Tulsi Gabbard.
Well, I actually confronted Tulsi Gabbard personally out here in Malibu, and it was very interesting. She gave a really strong denunciation of the waste management fiasco at San Onofre. Obviously, she was very well coached, and I was the first question, and I asked her if she would sign our petition on Diablo Canyon. She looked like a deer in headlights. I mean, she had actually absolutely, I don't think she even knew there were reactors at Diablo Canyon. So there was something weird going on there. And, you know, we have this petition signed by Mimi Kennedy and Jane Fonda and, you know, Martin Sheen, a whole Hollywood A-list, asking that the governor of California inspect Diablo Canyon. I mean, we're not even asking for a shutdown. And I gave her the petition, and I haven't heard anything since. So there was some kind of fix there with Tulsi Gabbard. Tom Steyer, I also talked to a couple days ago. One of the good things about living in Southern California is that all the candidates come here eventually, at least the Democrats. And he didn't seem to know much. He's very pro-solar and very concerned about global warming, but I'm not sure how well he was informed on nuclear power or on Diablo Canyon. So, but Bernie and Elizabeth Warren, Bernie especially, of course, has been very anti-nuclear. But and Cory Booker was horrible. I mean, I read a statement of his that was completely nuts, and I would like to confront both him and Andrew Yang and ask him how much they actually know about the safety situation of the 96 reactors that are operating. And that's
what Booker about is very close to Holtec International, New Jersey-based, unfortunately. And I would like to put a good word in for Castro as well. He's called for the phase-out of nuclear. So there's quite a spectrum on the Democratic candidates, and some are much better than others. But, you know, I think Bernie Sanders, for one, was well-trained up at Vermont Yankee. He join the shutdown Vermont Yankee campaign towards the end of it.
Yeah, thank God. It took a while. But I actually talked to Bernie about Vermont Yankee way back when. I'm not the one who persuaded him, obviously. And he was really grumpy when I talked to him, but it was all right. I guess he hadn't had his hit of Ben and Jerry's yet for the day. well, Bob Petraeus, Joe DeMar, and Kevin Camps, this is really, really terrifying stuff. And I don't know what we're going to do about it at this point in time. The good news is that Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders are now officially the front runners in the Democratic primaries. And, you know, we had the squad come out for Bernie, which is a big, big deal. And we did have acknowledgement from Elizabeth Warren of the real fact of this primary situation, which is that if anybody's going to beat Donald Trump, it's not somebody going down the mythological middle. I mean, it's the millennials who are going to decide the upcoming election. And, you know, this is where we've got to turn the nuclear issue. But, Bob, you and I have got to have a piece in the Free Press. And, Kevin, you got to push this. And, Joe, I mean, this is something, even just if it wasn't nuclear, that has to be dealt with. This is pure stormtrooper Nazi fascism being used against this referendum in Ohio, and whether it's about health care for all or the homeless or the border, or this can't be allowed to happen. I mean, Bob, as an attorney, what kind of a counterattack can we wage here? This is really
well. People need to get actual federal affidavits or state affidavits and be willing to swear out. I think some people need to go forward with assault charges, in some cases actual assault and battery, and that unless some of the petitioners are willing to really stand up and pursue some legal actions, the other side is going to win.
Well, Bob, after the 2004 election, you held hearings, public hearings, and on how the thing was stolen, and they were extremely important. I remember actually Jerry Nadler came to one of them, and I hope he's remembered all that. And so maybe there need to be hearings now held on this fascist attack on the right to the referendum.
I mean, this is serious stuff. Joe, I assume you'd be willing to swear out an affidavit. Can you get other people who have had similar experiences to do this?
I'd be willing to describe what happened to me. I don't know about getting the other people to do it. I mean, they as I said, this is being done by a professional organization, and they're kind of holding everybody close to the vest, and they haven't given out a lot of information in terms of how many signatures they've gathered, although there have been very public descriptions of some of these assaults. One person had their cell phone broken, another person got shoved, there's lots of screaming and lots of physical intimidation. So I'd be willing to sign such a description, but I don't know about getting other people to do it.
Well, I hope somebody gets some video. I mean, I assume that's why the woman who broke the guy's cell phone broke his cell phone, because he was probably taking video of what she was doing. And maybe there needs to be, Bob, organized a truce squad to go around and be prepared. A place like Columbus State, it must be happening a lot, to actually produce video of these fascist thugs surrounding signature gatherers. I mean, that would go viral. And so maybe you could do that at Columbus State and put it up on through the Free Press on the internet. I'm sure that would get huge coverage if we could get video of these people doing this stormtrooper assault here. It'd be very important. Maybe you could do it in Bowling Green, Joe, because if we can put it up on YouTube, that would be a big plus. This has got to be dealt with. I mean, this is the core of American democracy under attack here, and this is something we really cannot allow to go without a counterattack. And it's good the media has picked up on this, and I bet that a good piece of video would really do a huge piece of work on this. So, Joe and Bob, somebody's got to jump in on this. I haven't seen the Dispatch editorial, but I will look at it. Bob, you and I on our piece, if we can accompany it with some video, that will be really important. We've been talking with Kevin Camps, Bob Fitrakis, and Joe DeMar. Kevin, nationally, how do you think this is going to play out in terms of the fight to get these other 96 reactors shut down?
I was going to mention there is security camera footage of that cell phone assault, so there is some video at least. Nationally,
really?
Yep.
Have you
yep.
seen it?
Yeah, yeah. It was posted on the media, so there is.
Can you send me the link?
Charges
on that?
Were pressed
really
against
important.
That individual who committed that assault. So, nationally, that's the question. If they don't get bailed out, then they shut down, and that's how important this fight is. So there's something like 5 more reactors that are supposed to shut down in just the next few years, and they won't shut down if they secure bailouts to keep going. So that's the stakes.
Wow. I want to end with some good news here. There's been a lot of coverage in the last while about Japan, and it looks like, by and large, Japan is throwing in the towel on nuclear power. The one good thing that came out of Fukushima is that there were about 60 reactors in Japan, and they virtually all shut down, and most of them, there's only 9 back online. Thank you, guys. We got to deal with it. No nukes, everybody. We'll see you next week. And
either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
Don't you know we're going to have a solartopia, solartopia, solartopia.
Solartopia, all over God's green world. Well, we bit that.